Good morning. Well, that's not fair. After reading that gospel reading, you have to sit there and say, that's just not fair. The people who are hired at 5 o'clock get paid the exact same as the people who are hired early in the morning. Our initial response is, that's not fair. And so one of the things that we are drawn to do is to somehow look at that reading. Well, how do we make it fair? What has to be done to make it fair? What I'd like to do is invite you to engage with the unfairness. Because what's unfair here is that those hired at 5 o'clock, and even 3 o'clock, they didn't earn it, they didn't deserve it, they didn't merit it, but they received it. We call that unfair. Another word I would suggest for that is grace. Grace. I think the point of this story is the landowner. We can get drawn into all the different hours and how everyone wasn't paid the same, or everyone was paid the same and not paid for what they did. And there could be a homily in that. But I'm opting for another one, to look at the landowner and his generosity and his giving and his grace. Grace is about what we receive that we didn't earn, we don't deserve, we didn't merit. It's somehow freely given, and it can be transformative for us if we receive it. Have you ever had that kind of a moment in your life, that kind of an experience that was so grace-filled that it was transforming and perhaps changed your life, maybe forever, or maybe a little bit? We'll take even a little bit. Invite you to think on that this morning. I have an experience I want to share with you. I thought about it this past week. It's a bit of a story. I don't think I've shared bits and pieces you may be heard before, but this whole story is something different that for me was incredibly grace-filled, totally transformed my life, and shaped me and formed me into who I am, at least who I think I am today. It starts in the first grade. When I was in first grade, the teacher I was in a parochial school, Sister Amadeus, asked all of us in the class what we wanted to be when we grew up. And I remember standing up as a six-year-old saying, I want to be a priest. I was very moved by the priest in my parish, all the priests actually, but there was one in particular, Father McDonald, who influenced me so greatly. I think really what was going on is I wanted to be like him. I never got to know him that well. He was never really a friend. But there was something about him that I wanted to be like. So all through elementary school, I remember saying I wanted to be a priest. Came to eighth grade and looking towards high school. And in the school I went to in Yonkers, most of the people I went to school with either went to Gorton High School or to the Saunders Trade School or went to Sacred Heart High School, which was a parochial high school in Yonkers. But I wanted to go to Cathedral Prep. Cathedral Prep was a high school in those days that the Archdiocese of New York operated, and it was for young men, thinking about the priesthood. Those kind of high schools don't exist anymore. It was a different time. But thank God they existed in my time. I wanted to go there. I'd heard about it. I was in awe of Cathedral Prep. And I remember telling my parents about that. And looking back at that, they were probably a little bit stressed out about this. You know, I came from kind of a working class family, and how are we gonna handle this? And they didn't talk about that with me. All they said is, we'll see if we can make this happen. I remember my father driving me down to, it was in New York City in Manhattan, West 87th and West End Avenue, 555 West End Avenue. My father driving me down the West Side Highway, if you're familiar with that area, getting off at 96th Street, driving down to the school, and I saw it for the first time. It was like this holy place. I went in and took the entrance exam and found out a few weeks later I was accepted. I remember the letter coming. I was so excited about it. There was an orientation for new students, and my parents drove, all three of us went into the city. And it was an orientation of meeting with the principal and some of the teachers. And there were only 41 of us who were in the freshman class, and so it was very personal. And I remember our meeting with the procurator. the procurator. That was the name of the person who handled all the finances. I remember sitting down with my parents, and my parents had an idea or a sense of what this might cost, tuition and traveling in and out of the city every day. I lived in the suburbs of Yonkers. And I remember, I think it was my mother saying, so what exactly is the tuition for sure, and how often do you pay it, and how does this all work? I remember the procurator sitting back in his chair and looking at my parents and said, oh, I thought you already knew. George won't have to pay any tuition. I remember parents looking at each other. And they said, oh, there's a family about 20 years ago in the 1940s, this is the 1960s, who left money, an endowment. Any young boy who was interested in becoming a priest or thinking about the priesthood from my parish where I grew up and two other parishes in Yonkers, their tuition would be paid for. I remember my parents sitting there like looking at each other, like, we didn't know about this. I didn't know about this. So I was able to go to this school, which was an honor and just a gift for me, transform my life. You've heard my stories of traveling in and out and commuting. It opened my world to a whole nother world from the one I grew up in. I ran track at Central Park in the shadow of the Metropolitan Museum of Art and went in there one time to see went there many times. Right a few blocks down was the Metropolitan Opera, the museums, the art, the culture, language, diversity. It just opened my life. That was a gift. That was a gift. Didn't earn it, didn't deserve it, didn't merit it, but somehow someone's generosity made that possible. I then went to Cathedral College, which was a college for young men thinking about the priesthood. It was in Douglaston, Queens, for those of you from that neck of the woods. It's about as far out in Queens as you can get before you're in Nassau County on Long Island. Went there for 4 years and met some, and that too, room and board, everything, tuition was paid by this gift. Met some of the most wonderful priests I've ever encountered. Father McDonald was the one who instilled this in me, but I began to meet priests who just inspired me. Got to know one of them, and we'd sometimes travel in by subway into Manhattan and hang out in Greenwich Village and have a few beers and just kind of walk around the village. And it was just this wonderful world. I then went to a seminary for 4 years, and of course that too was paid for by this endowment. My whole education, my whole formation was gift, was grace, an incredible gift that formed and shaped who I am. That's part of the story. I was ordained a priest and was in a parish for only about 2.5 years. When my bishop said to me, Cardinal Cook said, I would like for you to go into teaching. And I said, okay. And went to teach at Cardinal Spellman High School in the Bronx. And during that time, he asked if I would return to school. I'd earned my Master of Divinity in seminary, but asked if I'd return to school and go to Fordham University, which is a Jesuit-run school. The Jesuits are probably some of the most brilliant theologians in my world. Some will argue the Dominicans are, but the Jesuits. And that was my Jesuit education, these brilliant minds opening me to even more. It was during that time that I was discerning moving towards the Episcopal Church. I remember meeting with my bishop at the time and saying, you know, I'm just feeling this call to leave the Roman Catholic priesthood and journey elsewhere. So I think I'm going to take a leave. And he said to me, you still have a couple courses left for that degree this summer. I said, I know I do. And I totally understand if we have to stop. He said, no. He said, you've got to finish that degree. So wherever this journey is taking you, this education, this formation goes with you. It's too bad we're not going to benefit from it, but wherever it takes you, go. And that was gift. The Archdiocese of New York paid for that degree, for that education. The grace that formed and shaped me, the opportunities it provided me, have been just, I just can't be thankful enough. Didn't deserve it, didn't earn it, didn't merit it, but it was gift given to me. And so many years later, I so appreciate that and stand in humility with that, of the possibility. I'd suggest to you, that's what this landowner is about. He's about generosity. He's about giving. Not so much that it's earned or merited or deserved, but freely given. Have you had that kind of experience in your life? Have you been able to have that much of an unfair experience that transformed your life, or changed your life, or touched your life? How can we be that landowner? How can we live lives that are filled with that grace, this idea of sharing our lives, sharing who we are, sharing our resources in ways that are grace-filled, that perhaps have effects that we'll never see? Like that family in the 1940s. They never knew me. I never got to meet them. They were all gone by the time I benefited from that gift. But we're called to be generous in giving. So in that gospel today, try to be the landowner. Don't get drawn into the unfairness, or do get drawn into the unfairness and see that as grace. How can we be a grace-filled people, a grace-filled community here at St. Paul's? We freely give, freely share, and transform our lives and transform the lives of those we're sent to serve.